Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from the heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When I was thinking about this passage over these last few days, the verse that came to mind for me was verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today we reach the end of our series where we've been looking at the series of meeting the Spirit. Remember the some of us that have been in the house groups, we've been working through this. This, when you get to the end of the book, sometimes is a huge sense of relief. Sometimes a sense of disappointment because you want to carry on further and further. But today, we get to the end one. I wonder how have you felt about this series? What can you remember? Probably not a lot. I can't. But hopefully this series has challenged us all to focus more on the Holy Spirit and how this affects our lives day to day. Let us remember that the Holy Spirit is God's promised gift to us. It is so special that we cannot physically see it, but we can see it at work in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. Think back to the beginning when the Holy Spirit powerfully came upon the disciples on the Pentecost. The disciples at that time were extremely afraid. I think that's putting it mildly. That's probably the best language that I can use from the pulpit, but extremely afraid. They didn't want to go out at all. They feared for their lives. They couldn't process in human terms what had happened. But then, in Acts chapter 2, the well-known passage at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, this is what happens. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, they being the disciples. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit made a miraculous change. If you were to ask different people here today, they will be able to tell you different experiences of how the Holy Spirit has affected their lives and those around us. And as we think about the Holy Spirit each day, each week, each day, particularly today, and how it's influenced our life, each one of us will have different experiences. There is no right or wrong experience of the Holy Spirit. Each way the Holy Spirit affects our lives at that time is exactly right, because that's how God needs us to be used by the part of the Holy Spirit. The first disciples had followed Jesus for 3 years. They had learned direct from him. Their lives had changed completely. They'd been moved away from their families, away from their work. Excuse me. Their livelihoods. Everything that they thought was normal. They had changed. And they've been on an emotional roller coaster and a huge learning curve. They'd experienced and witnessed many, many, many different situations, many that they couldn't understand. And then on this day of Pentecost, 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus, as the disciples are trying to process what's going on in human terms, trying to work out what this gift was that Jesus had told would come from his Father, they gather together in that room. And the Holy Spirit changed their lives completely. Thank goodness it did. Because if it didn't, we wouldn't be here today. Because the Holy Spirit affected those disciples that then went on and affected others and others and others, that's because we're here today. Because the Holy Spirit has affected us. Hopefully we've come here today because we want to worship God, to encounter God in a fresh way, and to ask guidance from the Holy Spirit to influence our lives, to ask for his guidance on what we can do, what we can say to somebody, how can we react to somebody, which situations can we be used in, which situations do we need to be taken out of. Because the Holy Spirit does not only say, yes, you can do something, sometimes he says, time to stop. Let someone else do it. Being influenced in our lives can make a big impact on our lives. Think about your lives, how things and situations have affected your life. As we go up, we tend to follow the example of those around us. As a young child, you'll follow the examples of your parents and grandparents, and then nursery workers, family, friends, school teachers, work colleagues, and so on. Many influences are good, but there are some that aren't. And I think it's fair to say that every single one of us in this room will have been affected by some bad influence at some point. Now, when I was thinking about this, I thought, do I say how many? And I can't, because there's quite a lot. I'll tell you about one influence that wasn't good for me. This would have been when I was around about the age of 12, 13, 14, somewhere around there. I was in my third year at secondary school. In those days, you didn't count from year one, two, three. You did your primary school, junior school, senior school. That's all. Proper way. A way that I can understand. Anyway, I was in my third year at secondary school at Crownwoods in South London. And somehow, in that year, I changed my group of friends. I can't tell you how, but I changed a group of friends and I got in with another group of lads. I thought they were a great group of lads, but actually they weren't quite so good, because they decided that they didn't like school quite so much, and so instead of going to all the lessons, they'd skip off one or two, and they got me into that as well. So yes, for a while, I did go in school for your registration, so the school thought you were there, and then disappear for some lessons, particularly the ones I didn't like. I'm not proud of this, but this is true. This is what happened to me. And there was one time when one of my friends were out, we were wandering around the local area, and we got chased by the police because the cop's car come round the corner, we walked round the corner, he drove round, and we thought, uh-oh. And so we went off. I didn't, but I got into trouble when I got back to school. I got told off, yeah, you got put on report, and then your report sheet, well, you got it. You did it for the first week, didn't you? Then you got people to copy the signatures. I'm not going to ask how many agreed to that. This, of course, caused my parents, when I look back, extreme stress. Because up until then, I had been doing reasonably well at school. It might be surprising for you to understand that, but I was doing reasonably well at school. I was being pretty good. I didn't very often get into trouble. But that year I did. And actually, with this group of friends, one of the group boys got even worse, and he got into shoplifting as well. And he ended up in court, but that did give him a kick up the backside that he needed. And we both tried to pull away from that group of friends. Very hard. As teenagers, amongst a group of friends, it was really hard to say, no, we don't want to miss lessons. We don't want to go and do this. We don't want to go into the shops and pick up just what we want without paying for it. It's very hard because your group of friends are all doing it. And my parents were really, really, really distressed. And unbeknown to me, they were concerned for my dad because we were travelling across London for an hour and a half each day to get to his office. And they were thinking of moving. I didn't know that at the time. And I know that part of this situation that I ended up in helped them to make the decision that we moved. And so we did. We moved from New Eltham to Causton in Surrey. And then I joined obviously had to go to a different school. Dad was closer to his office, so he could walk to his office. We had a nicer house as well, but that was it. And then when I went to the new school, I was away from that bad group of friends. Unfortunately, the group of friends I made at the new school were much, much better for me. So that was good. And I'm fairly certain, well, I know when I look back, that my parents and grandparents' prayers were answered, that we all got into a safe situation. We're influenced by what goes on around us, by people, friends. But how much do we think about the Holy Spirit and how that influences the situations that we're in? At that time, I didn't think about the Holy Spirit at all. Yes, I went to church every week because my mum went to church every week. We went to church every week. But at that stage, I had not made a commitment to God. I had not let the Holy Spirit into my life. That came a couple of years later. But as I look back, I can see that God was controlling that situation and pulling me out of a dangerous situation. Every day, we are presented with different opportunities to show God's love and to share the Holy Spirit. But the trouble is that we're often so busy with our earthly lives that we don't recognize it. Verse 15 in that passage encourages us to make the most of every opportunity. This means that every day we should make time to listen to God. Because how else are we going to find out what God wants us to do? In our daily lives, if we want to know something, what do? If you've got something, a new gadget, sometimes you might, or some of us might, not me, look at the instruction book. I'll go to quick guide, plug in, hope for best, job done. Some people will read the whole lot. Some people will use Google. Why not? See, Google, YouTube, that will do. If you're going to cook something for the first time, you'll look at the recipe and you'll follow the recipe. And sometimes It's luck. You're lucky, and it comes out a picture. Not always. Why do people find it so hard? Why do I find it so hard to look at instructions? Because society has taught us to be self-sufficient. We're supposed to know everything for ourselves. We're supposed to be able to work out everything without asking for help. Asking for help is good. God wants it exactly the other way. God wants us to ask for everything, to spend time with Him regularly, to actually listen to Him. The old adage, we've got two ears, one mouth. Theory, we do twice as much listening as we do talking. I'm not going to ask how many. Right, we'll move on. You know where I'm going on that one. How often do we spend time listening to God? If we can't listen to God, we can't be influenced by the Holy Spirit. That is basically what we're saying. But come back to where we are in society today, in the 21st century. The idea of being still and quiet is alien to most people. Society expects us to be on the go 24/7. That's not how God planned it. At the end of each day, if you go back to creation, at the end of each day when God created the world, He stopped and looked and said, yeah, that's good. And then He rested. And at the end of the seventh day, He rested. He took time out. If it's good enough for God, surely it's good enough for us. What did Jesus do? He wanted to find out what His Father wanted. He took Himself away and went to a solitary place and had quiet. Society influences us that we shouldn't be quiet, that we should be doing something. We should be looking on the screens, we should be reading, we should be out, we should be doing this, that and the other. I find it very, very hard to sit still and to be quiet and to focus on God. Because if I try and do that, quite often, my mind goes there, and suddenly I think, oh, I was thinking about God, wasn't I? Maybe some of you can think about that, recognize that. Some people will use symbols, they'll find a cross, and they'll focus and look on the cross. Other people will possibly use a small holding cross. You can get them in Christian bookshops. I sometimes use that. Have that in your hand, it helps to focus. Keeps our minds focused on God. If we can do that, if we can then be still and quiet, we can listen to what God needs us to do. In that way, we can influence the people around us. Oh yeah, and the great thing, we don't have to wait for a special time or day to be still with God. We don't have to wait for a birthday, an anniversary, or a particular occasion. God is available 24/7, 365 days a year. He doesn't take a holiday, He doesn't take a break. We need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit regularly. An analogy I was given years ago, and it still sticks in my mind. If you think about a car needs fuel to go. When I was guessing there was only petrol cars, okay, but there's petrol, diesel, and electric cars now. But whichever type of car you have, occasionally you need it to take to a fueling station or a charging point, plug it in or fill up. It's exactly the same with the Holy Spirit and us. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. We've made it one time, and then we'll get top-ups from time to time. If we do not top up, we'll get to what's referred to as spiritual burnout, where we've got nothing left to give. If you take your car out and you haven't filled it up with or haven't charged it, after a certain number of miles, you'll stop because the engine's got no way of working. And the chances are it will be in the most inconvenient place possible. If we do take time to be with God, to plug into the Holy Spirit, to let God's Holy Spirit influence us, we will not be able to be used by God. We're also told in this passage in verses 18 and 19 to speak to one another with psalms, hymns and songs of the Spirit. Now, the bit of joker in me thinks, well, we shouldn't go around and sing all our favourite hymns to everybody or quote our favourite psalms to every single person you meet, because I have to say, I don't think that will get the best results going, particularly if you like you can't sing in tune. But what it does mean is ask God for guidance in the situations to give you the words or the actions that you need to have in that occasion. It could be that you're put into a situation that you don't know how to deal with. There's two or three times at least I can think in my life where I've been in situations and I have been given words to say that I had no idea I was going to say. I had no idea how I was going to handle that particular situation. They came direct from God. That's the best type of use and influence of God. You know how it is sometimes if you're going to go into a situation that's going to be awkward. You have planned your speech, haven't you? You've worked it out exactly what you want to say. And then something changes. God can change that. I also think it's very important we recognise that God has used us in a situation, that we say thank you to God. You probably cannot do it when you're actually in the situation because you're focused on that. But afterwards, when you reflect on the situation, it's good to say thank you to God so that you recognise that he's helped you. It's not often people come back to Jesus when he was alive and say, thank you for your help. One occasion that I was thinking about during the week when I was thinking about this was when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and they approached us. Now, of course, in that time, lepers were seen as unclean. You kept away from them. They were in their own separate colony. And they kept well away from normal society. But Jesus says, go and you will be healed. Show yourself to the priests. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Out of 10, one of them came back and said, thank you, Jesus. You've healed me. You've given me a chance of being back in life. And Jesus rewards him. And at verse 20, the one that I use as my text, give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God. We must thank God. There's no restriction there. It doesn't say thank God for your friend or your family or for one or food or for everything. No restrictions. Thank God for how the Holy Spirit has influenced, is influencing, and will influence our lives daily. At the end of this series on meeting the Spirit, I hope that we've all had a fresh insight into the Holy Spirit. Hopefully we've all learned something new about the Holy Spirit. I hope that each one of us has increased our trust in the Holy Spirit. And I hope that each one of us has taken the next step forward to allowing us to be used by the Holy Spirit. Maybe during this series you have encountered the Holy Spirit for the first time. If so, please let one of the leadership team know. Maybe you have yet to encounter personally the Holy Spirit. If so, is it time for you to say, "Yes, please, God, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit for the first time today"? If this is you, please again come and speak with one of us on the leadership team. My hope and prayer for each one of us here at Stand Ground is that we end up, or we are like, the early believers soon after Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2. They, the early Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That is what the Holy Spirit can do for us as a church, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, if we trust what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do, and if we act on the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we receive many, many blessings. So may we, as God's chosen people here in Stand Ground, be of one mind, be focused on God, allow the Holy Spirit to use us daily, so that this church here in Stand Ground may continue to be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope, and a witness to God in this community. And may we as a church go from strength to strength in His name. Amen.